The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Bob Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia.
This is Ashley Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia, and we listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 490 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos. And Chris, there's someone missing, although we may not notice.
Wait, is there supposed to be a female presence here? Is Wonder Woman supposed to be on?
I think so, but Wonder Woman isn't here. I think Wonder Woman is between here and Philadelphia.
Oh. She's maybe in my neck of the woods on her way up north.
Yeah, something about running up the stairs like Rocky. I don't know. Anyways, Michelle is not here, so it's you and me, buddy. So why don't we get right to your song, and then I'll talk about a tip.
My song is She Blinded Me with Science by Thomas Dolby. An old 1980s hit.
It is old. It is old. Don't have a shout-out, but I do have a tip. And this comes from way back in the 80s and 90s when I really started digging into Walt Disney World and talking with a lot of people down there and finding out little bits and pieces that I thought would help those who are planning trips. And one of the things that I found out, and I think it's still the case today, is that a lot of the cast members who work at hotels tell me that their busiest days are Sundays. On Sundays, most people are either checking in or they're checking out. So what that led me to believe is that if you've got all those people checking in and checking out, then my guess is that the parks are probably not as crowded on Sundays as they would normally be like during the regular during the days of the week. So my tip is that if you plan on any trips down at Walt Disney World, try to plan it so that you are not there, you are not arriving, and you're not departing on Sunday. The other thing is that if you are staying on a Sunday night, you're probably not going to be paying a surcharge that you would be paying on a Friday or a Saturday night. So my tip is try to arrive and depart on a day other than Sunday, and I think you'll get more time in the park. You won't have to deal with as many crowds, especially with the summer months coming up. So that is the tip of the episode, you might say.
Very nice.
And let's get right into this. We have two special guests. I'm excited about this episode because it's one of those things that I know when Michelle and I put this podcast together, we hoped that we would have an opportunity like this, and this is just a great opportunity. So it's my pleasure to introduce first Joe Kolinsky from the Bronx, New York. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Chris.
Welcome.
You again, huh? All right.
Yeah,
here's trouble.
I know.
And another, and Joe is a runner, and we've run together with this next fellow, Mitch Brennan. Mitch is from, I believe you're from Walkersville, Maryland, Mitch, right? Right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. Yes. Good morning. Or actually, good evening. Sorry.
Good How evening. Yes. Last time I ran with these guys, and I think Brian Johnson was the other musketeer. We were running with donuts. Brian had the donuts. This was in...
Wow.
This was about a year and a half ago. It was really, really funny. That was the light side, I believe it was, Mitch and Joe, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely it. It was just a lot of fun that day. And as you know, the course, Mike, takes you out into Anaheim a bit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the three of us had a pretty unique idea, right, Mitch?
Yeah, we just wanted to bring fun to the masses. So we just stopped at the local donut shop and picked it up and passed them out along the course. The police and the stormtroopers didn't enjoy them, but some nice photos regardless.
So Joe is the president of DAWS, which stands for Do Away With SMA. SMA is, stands for Spinal Muscular Atrophy. And I'm going to turn it over to Joe. And so Joe can tell tell us and the audience all about Dawes. Joe, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, ahead. Sure. And Mitch, just if I get boring, Mitch, chime in, please, and make me sound better. So basically what spinal muscular atrophy is the number one genetic killer of children under the age of 2 in the world. And really just nobody hears about it. You know, it's not in the news or anything else like that. And there are, let's just see, it's one in every 6,000 to 8,000 babies are born with this. It's a recessive gene thing. We don't really need to get into all of the genetics involved. It's just a genetic disorder. And it affects a lot of families, to be quite honest with you. And there are four types. First type being the most severe that you have at birth. Second type is, quite frankly, 6 months in, you start noticing differences in your child. And the next thing you know, you get diagnosed with SMA type 2. And it goes all the way up to type 4, which you don't find out about until you're about 35. So, you know, it's adult onset. You don't know you have it at the age of 34, 35. Things start changing a bit. And the next thing you know, you're diagnosed with this. And to long story short, the basic thing that makes this genetic disease so difficult, so trying, is the fact that the mind works perfectly. Like a baby could cry because the baby's hungry. Problem is the baby can't turn around and then say, well, oh, look, you know, here comes some baby food. I need to swallow it. The brain tells the mouth and the throat to swallow, and the message never gets there. Mm. So the baby is cognizant of what he or she needs, but it can't control its own body. I want to wiggle my fingers. I can't do it. Can wiggle my toes. It's a very difficult genetic disorder to deal with. And let's face it, it also affects the families. So it's a very, very difficult disease for families to work with, let's just say.
And this this demon has touched your family, right, Joe?
It has. I actually had two brothers that passed away from type 1. Let's face it, the odds on it happening once, it's rare, but it happens. Odds on happening twice, I couldn't even count. So, but my two brothers passed away of type 1. And the cool thing, Mike, that you know about and you're very well aware of is the fact that the Disney running community is pretty darn special. And I made a lot of friends through the Run Disney experiences over the years, and Mitch is one of them. And you know, and hearing my story, a group of us got together from the Run Disney community, and we basically said we want to do something about this. So in 2014, we created a charity, and it took off from there.
I did do some research on SMA, and I was just blown away by what it does to the system. And it, one of the things that it talked about was that it produces muscle wasting. Can you talk a little bit about that, Joe? Do you know what muscle wasting is?
Yeah, it's the problem is that types 2 and type 3, right? They're the ones that are, it's easier for a child or a young adult to begin to grow with it. But it's a muscle wasting is basically the fact that you can't utilize your limbs the way everybody else can that right. doesn't have this disease.
Right.
And because of that, honestly, Mike, it's a difficult subject for me to talk about simply because I've witnessed it in a lot of people. When I was in 2015, when I was running in California, we actually met a bunch of families and we tried to do a spontaneous, if you want to call it, kids run, you know, the same way Run Disney does those little kids races. We designed one to do with wheelchairs, right? And we met up with a group of families that had SMA kids in Ventura, California. We drew up little finish lines, and they were all, don't get me wrong, in wheelchairs. Most of them were mechanized, but they don't have the ability to wheel their own wheelchairs. They have to use electronics to do it. And because of that, kids with SMA can experience the same experiences that kids that don't have the disease can feel. I would love to feel like I can run. Right. Well, I can't.
Right.
I would love to be able to climb and play. Well, I can't. And we as a charity, we want to do something about that. Obviously, we donated some money already to research, and that's great. But we're working on other programs to help families that already have a kid with this type 1, type 2, type 3 SMA. We want to be able to help them with the most basic of things. And that's why we formed Do Away With SMA.
Now, about 2 years ago, you, Mitch, Michelle, and I had a conversation. I believe it was at the Wave Lounge at the Contemporary Resort. And you and Mitch were telling Michelle and myself what you were about to go forth with in your efforts to help these families. And you told us what you were about to do, and we all thought it was is going to be a long journey, and that journey has begun to yield some fruit, you might say. So I would like you and Mitch to tell our audience just why you come on the show and what you would like to announce today.
Absolutely. Mitch, what do you think? Go for it.
So, yeah, Mike, we had the honor to be able to hang out with you all at the Wave for a little bit, like you said, about 2 years ago. And we decided we wanted to do something ambitious because we knew about the 500-mile run that Joe did in California and kind of like what's the next step. And so we started communications and talks with the Marine Corps Marathon about becoming a charity partner. And we're really, really jazzed and really excited to be able to announce that that came to fruition this year. And that Dawes is a charity partner for the 42nd annual Marine Corps Marathon.
Which is awesome. And that takes place October 22nd, I want to guess. Is that right?
Yes, October 22nd. And this is a great race. It's the people's race, the people's marathon. It's a lottery system, and the lottery was done in March. And so it's completely sold out now. And the only way to get in is through charity bibs. And so we were really honored and privileged when they selected us to be able to do this.
So you are a charity partner now for the U.S. For the Marine Corps Marathon. And so my guess is that there may be someone out there who is thinking, wow, I guess I missed my chance with the lottery, but now there's a chance that I might be able to get a bib. So if there's somebody out there listening who is interested in acquiring one of these bibs that you have been able to get from the marathon people, where would they go? How would they? What type of requirements are necessary? What would they do?
Sure. So the easiest place to go right now is we made a new website, a smaller URL to make it easy. It's tinyurl.com/MCMDAWS. And so by going there, that will actually take you to the Do Away With SMA website directly to the registration page, and they'll be able to get more information there. The long, short answer, I guess, is the fact that what we're asking for is that they raise funds that we will help them do by setting up their page and support and strategies of $750 to be able to do that. That will get them their registration code, so they'll be able to register for the race. And we're also really happy and pleased to be able to say that part of that, those monies raised, that's actually going to go to Give Kids the World, because we really believe as a charity and other charities in supporting them, and that helps with our mandate of providing respite care to these kids and for them to actually have some relief while they're going through their treatment and the things that they're going through.
Yeah, you know, Mitch, while you were saying that, I was wondering if some of the children who go to Give Kids the World are suffering from SMA. I don't know if that's the case, but that's a possibility too.
It definitely is a possibility, Mike, because of the fact that, when I was, I guess, a little bit younger and more spry, let's just say, I was a wish granter for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And, you know, that's for life threatening illnesses, you know, kids with life threatening illnesses and their families, and they try to make wishes happen. Well, you know, 80% of the time they want to go to Disney World. Let's face it. They just want to go to Walt Disney World with their family, and they make that wish come true. Well, you know, some of those families with, you know, SMA families, it's important for them to be able to step away and say, you know, we deal with this on a day-to-day basis. I'd love to be able to just get away for a week and step away from my day-to-day rough, not so, let's just say, not so positive at times experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to go someplace that I can almost suspend reality for a bit. It recharges the batteries of the child and the family. And that's why Give Kids the World fits really well into do away with SMA's mandate. It really does. Because, yes, a lot of SMA kids could benefit from this. Probably some of them already have. And it's important to be able to provide those kind of services or those kind of possibilities for kids that really need it. And SMA kids definitely need it.
Yeah, Michelle and I had the opportunity to visit Give Kids the World, and we're trying to possibly do some volunteer work this year down there. And one of the interesting things, Joe, is sort of tied in with what you just said, is that we were told by one of the lead people at Give Kids the World that there are times when the children prefer to stay at that village rather than go to Walt Disney World. And I'm wondering if it's because while they are at Give Kids the World, they actually can do what you said. You know, they can suspend what's going on. They can press the pause button, and they may not be able to do that at Walt Disney World. They don't get the attention at Walt Disney World that they are given at Give Kids the World. So that's that's something that really hit home with us, and I think it sort of complements what you just said.
Yeah, and let's face it, Mike, we worked really hard to get these bibs, and it was not an easy process, but the juice was definitely worth the squeeze.
Now,
you know, it really was. And the fact of the matter is that in order to make a difference, we need people's help, right? We need people to run with us. And quite frankly, we will offer a very, very unique experience for them as well. Okay. And I'm sorry, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, Joe, didn't mean to interrupt, but I want everyone to know that it's not just the bib that you're offering. You and Mitch have come up with a very involved list or agenda of things that anyone who goes through Dawes to get this bib is in store for. And I was hoping, I think that's where you were going. I wanted to make sure that you were able to go through the whole list and tell people what they're getting.
Yeah. And Mitch helped me out with this one, because I will say first off that the Disney running community provided me with some pretty awesome friends, Mike, a lot of them. And not only are they awesome people, but they're pretty awesome runners too. They have a lot of experience. They've run for charities before. And the board of directors is developed with people that have experience in this. So the good thing is, right from the top down, we can provide the kind of knowledge base and guidance to our runners, who some of them may be first-timers, never did a marathon before. Let's face it, this is one of the best ones to do if you're a first-timer. It is one of the most memorable days. So even if you're not a first timer, trust me when I tell you, it is the most emotional finish line you will ever see. It is an incredibly well supported race, and it's one that we targeted and we worked hard for. And because we worked so hard for it, we're going to make sure that the runners on race day and from day one of signing up to race day, they're well supported in every way, shape, and form. Mitch, you want to tell them a couple of things that we're offering?
So what we're offering is a 12 and a 16-week training plan that's been designed by a registered trainer who's worked through for both beginners and intermediates, which will be going through the Badman Incorporated, which is Brian Johnson's company. It will be doing that. We've partnered with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel to be they're the official travel agency for this event, which we're happy about. And that so we'll have the preferred location, which is the Hampton Inn and Suites National Harbor. Part of the reason we picked that, just kind of just lean it down the line, is that it's less than a quarter mile away from the expo, and that it provides transportation to the start line and also from the finish line back to the hotel. So that's great. We have medical support, so that way if there's medical questions, training questions that are going on and that people are concerned about different things that may arise with increasing their distance or things of that nature that happen. So we have professionals that we've consulted with to be able to answer those questions. We'll also be having a private Facebook page. That way people can start doing more of the social media aspect with each other and starting to dig in and learn more about each other. And we can provide specific information about SMA, answer questions, be able to provide strategies. We don't want people to think that they're going to go through this alone, that this is a really integrated process. We're all in it together, and that we're here to support them as much as they're going to be able, you know, that they're willing to support us. We want to just be able to give back as much as we can. We're going to be doing a reception the night before the race, so that way everyone's able to meet each other and greet each other. We have a bunch of just great plans that are going to be rolling out as we just move along with this process, but we're just really excited for people to be able to join us as we go through the People's Marathon.
Yeah, and Mike, just lastly, I just want to say that some charities may go out, and every charity has a really good reason for doing what they do, you know, but with our charity, with Dawes, what we want to do is make sure that we provide a first-class experience, and that even goes to fundraising. It's not easy to fundraise the money that we're asking you to raise, right? So there are tons of tips and tricks that we can use and we can provide as guidance to help you along the way. And I'll be honest with you, as I've been doing charity running for, I want to say 11, 12 years, it's never easy. Fundraising is always a challenge as well. As much of a challenge sometimes is getting the runs in during the week for training. It's a little bit of stress. So we want to make sure that we support our runners from day one all the way to the finish line with everything that they could possibly need. And that's what we're going to do. And we have a plan for it, which I feel is well thought out. And definitely, let's just say, user-friendly. So we're really looking forward to getting a great team together, getting them on there on the course, and then watching them get their medals. And seriously, that I cannot say it again, Mike, the last 1/10 of a mile of this race is something you will never forget for the rest of your life.
I can imagine. I know how it is for, well, not that I've run the Boston Marathon, but I've witnessed it and watched people and that is emotional, but I can't imagine what it would be to, go through several hours of running and then, you know, you've got that 1/10 of a mile left and you know what's what this is all about, and it's got to be emotional. One of the things I wanted to mention, and again, I want to compliment you guys on everything you've put together. I'm looking at your page and it looks like it's a great experience. It looks like it's going to be fun. And quite frankly, I think you're offering more than what that 750 normally would get people. It's just all the stuff that you have planned. I really want to compliment you. One of the things I do want to mention to everyone that's listening who's interested is that there is a deadline for this. Is that correct, Joe?
Mitch, take it away.
Mitch take it away.
All the data.
Yeah, we're deadlining this. We'd like to be able to deadline this by the end of July, basically, so that way we know what our core team's going to be. And that gives plenty of ample time for people to get into their training plans and to get prepared and to run this race. Is that as much as we like runners, we love runners, we're all running all the time. We love the support. We also want to make sure that we're cutting this off in enough time that people aren't making a last minute decision and people are able to be safe. So it's just balancing safety with initiative. So, we'd love to have you. We just would rather have you earlier than later to make sure that at the end of the day that, you're able to finish that last 10th of a mile.
Yeah. The last thing we ever want is to have a runner wearing our shirt that says, "I had an awful time," and let's face it, the Marine Corps Marathon itself, the race day itself is never going to make you say, "Boy, I had an awful time doing that." No way. The race is too amazing for it. So we want to make sure that we provide the best experience. And, in order to do that, the earlier you start training, better off you're going to be. You know, that 10% rule, you never want to raise your mileage more than 10% a week, week over week when you're training, because it puts you at more of a risk of injury. So if you get in early, you start working on the training plan earlier, the odds of you getting to the starting line healthy are vastly improved.
Right. There's always that, especially those who are doing long distance races for the first time, tend to overtrain within the last 2 weeks. And the earlier that you know you're going to do 26.2, the better you can prepare yourself and you can do a gradual train. And my thought is, Mitch and Joe, that most of those who would be interested in this opportunity would be former people who have run marathons or maybe even just half marathons, who are looking for their first 26.2 race. And so I think that those people understand the importance of training early and making sure that they're prepared for this race.
Absolutely.
So as we close this, I want to congratulate you guys for putting this effort together. Joe, you and I have had conversations, and I know how much this means to you, and I know how much work you and Mitch have put into this, and how many interviews you've gone through, and how many forms, and all that stuff. And I just want to congratulate you. I think this is a tremendous accomplishment, and it's only the beginning. So number one, I want to compliment you both.
I appreciate that, Mike, but I will tell you that I couldn't, you know, this wouldn't have happened if we as a board didn't work together. And I'm very, very lucky to have, you know, they're board members, but they're also friends and family to me. And it just makes it easier when you're working with people that get it. Just like the Disney experience, right? You either get it or you don't. These guys get it.
I think that when people ask me about Run Disney, and I've been doing Run Disney since 2005, they say to me, what's the best thing about it? And I say, well, the best thing about it is that it has created a community that has resulted in so many people helping so many who are not able to run. The camaraderie, the culture, the friendship has all been put into a pot, and the dividends that have come out have helped so many people, and this is just another prime example of what Run Disney has produced. And yeah, the registrations are going through the roof, and yeah, the race products have been kind of faltering, but when you look at what the side benefits have been, I mean, I think that this is the success story of Run Disney. And I think that I echo your thoughts, Joe, on everything you've said. So one of the things I want to mention to people is that in the show notes, we will put the URLs, the websites, so that they can get to it. And then they need to know that the bibs will go fast, and that we're looking to help you guys take care of everything by the end of July. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, you know, I just want to say thanks, Mike. You know, you and Michelle and Chris have been great friends through this, and donating a portion of our proceeds, a portion of our donations, to Give Kids the World is just something that is an added benefit. I think it crosses over extremely well. It fits into our mandate, like I said before, as a charity. And I just got to echo the sentiment again. It's, you know, we can pick apart Run Disney races. I know I can. But it's the people. Let's face it. Yeah. It really is the people. And I've met so many great people doing these races that, yeah, it's my motivation for going back again and again. You know, so it's just, I feel very, very lucky to work with the people I work with and to have the friends that I do. So thanks.
Well, I think Michelle and Chris and I want to thank you and Mitch for giving us the honor of announcing this on our show. And we are more than thankful that you have decided to donate a portion to Give Kids the World. And let's see if this partnership can reap some benefits down the line.
Absolutely.
Those, for those who are suffering. And as we have said many times, we run because there are those who can't, and we run for those who can't run. So I want to thank you and Mitch for coming on the show and to announce this. And we will be posting on our Facebook page and in the show notes. And we hope that everyone would take advantage of this. It's a great opportunity. It looks like so much fun. I think that for those people who are looking at this as a race on their bucket list should take advantage of this, because it's not just getting the bib, but it's helping so many people. So thank you, Joe, and thank you, Mitch, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us.
So for Joe Kalinske, for Mitch Brennan, for Chris Aliopoulos, for Chris Aliopoulos, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, who is somewhere, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.